This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury with you today. I'll be hosting the show. Pastor Marcia is on a well-deserved vacation. And I just want to give a huge shout out to my engineer, Pete, because as you know, Pastor Marcia does this. She can do all that engineering stuff. I cannot. So I desperately needed an engineer. So thank you, Pete.
Hey, no problem. No problem at all.
I appreciate you being here.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in today. If you're tuning in live on WTAN here in Clearwater, 1340. Also, you can stream the program on the internet, tantalk1340.com. And, of course, we want to say hello to all the listeners who will be listening throughout the week on the Starcom Media Networks. We have an outreach now across the world, and that's really shown by the number of prayer requests we are receiving on our prayer line from outside of the country, which, since I help to run the prayer line, I find that very exciting that we have people from India, Australia, Africa sending in prayer requests to us, and we think that's great. I just want to, again, thank everyone for tuning in, remind you that Beacon of Hope Ministries is currently meeting at the Ramada Inn at 3850 Almerton Road in Clearwater. We have our separate entrance on the far right-hand side of the building, and we meet every Friday night for our gathering at 6:30. We actually get together a little bit before that for prayer and praise. We pray out of the Prayers That Avail Much book, and because we really believe that it's important to pray scripture. So we spend some time taking prayer requests and praying, and then at 6:30 we open with some praise and worship. We get into a study of the word that's very interactive, and we ask everybody, you know, please, bring your Bible, bring a notebook, bring your dinner if you feel like it, because certainly we can, we sit around tables, so, and it's pretty close to being, off work, so a lot of people do bring their dinner, and that's just great. So we invite you to join us on Fridays at 6 o'clock. We also, on the first Sunday of every month, go to Palm Garden Nursing Home up on the corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. We minister up there, and that is such a blessed time to minister in that nursing home. We've just seen so many blessings, and it's been great for me. I'll speak personally for myself, and I'm pretty sure the rest of the nursing home team feels the same way, but we get ministered to more, I think, at times than we minister to the others. They just minister, the residents there just minister right back to us. We also have another ministry radio program on Thursdays at 6:06 called Go Yard. That is a counseling radio program with Mama Mac, that's the alias of Pastor Marcia, and Dr. Angel Falzone, who is a licensed clinical social worker. And it is a talk show, counseling show. Last week, I know, was on parenting. I got a chance to listen to part of that. It was very, very good. Informative. And if I remember correctly, Angel gave everybody homework. So I think that's a great thing. So I just want to, again, welcome everybody. We've been doing a series on all-out alignment and studying about Gideon in the book of Judges. And I wanted to follow up some more with that today. All-out alignment with the God of the impossible. And, you know, I think we talked last week about how Gideon started out with 32,000 soldiers. And God said, wait a minute, that's way too many, because I'm going to be the one to get the glory from this. No Israelite is going to be able to say, I did this. But the glory is all going to go to God. And the Lord told Gideon, tell your soldiers, who's afraid? If you're afraid, go home. Well, 22,000 of them went home. So that left Gideon with only 10,000 soldiers. And God said, wait a minute, that's still too much. That's way too much still. So God said, okay, have them drink and watch the way they drink. And the ones that kneel down, separate them out from the ones that lap water like a dog. So we're not quite sure exactly what that means. Some commentators think that the ones that lapped like a dog would scoop the water into their hands but remain standing. So they were watchful. They were a little more alert than the ones who got down on their knees and put their faces down toward the water. So at any rate, God took that army of 32,000 and brought it down to 300. And in Judges chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites." God promised Gideon this impossible victory. And Scripture says there in Judges that the Midianites were like the sand of the sea. They could not be counted. There were so many Midianites and Amalekites and people of the east, they could not be counted. And here's this little tiny army of 300. And yet God said, "With these I'm going to rescue you, and I'll give you victory over the Midianites." Okay, so it was an incredible thing. And I can't imagine what was running through Gideon's heart and mind at that point, except that God did say, "Look, if you're afraid, you and your servant go down into the camp. You know, if you're afraid, go down into the camp." And that was so wonderful of God. He didn't condemn Gideon for being afraid. He just said, "If you're afraid, I'm going to give you a sign just to confirm that what I'm saying is true." Okay, so again, this was the God of the impossible. So I want to start out with our first song. It's one actually we sang last Friday night at church, "All Things Are Possible" by Darlene Zench.
My hiding place, my safe refuge. No one.
Oh, I love that song. All things are possible. In fact, thanks to technology, all things are possible, because I understand that Betty and Megan are joining me now from Indiana. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hello. How's everything up there?
Hot.
Just go ahead, Mama.
Yeah, I heard you all were. I heard y'all were having heat advisories.
Oh yeah, heat advisories in monsoon season. So we're getting a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I saw the picture on Facebook of the farmer on skis. It said a farmer inspects his Indiana farmer inspects his crops. So
yes.
That was. Yeah, I know. I talked with my father last weekend, and he said that the fields are just underwater. So we really need to keep the farmers in prayer, because.
Yeah, we do. I said if they don't produce, we don't eat.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and food prices, soybean prices, those are all going to go up. So
everything's going to go up.
Yep. Well, you can tell I'm from up there, because I know exactly what crops are up there.
That's right.
Well, welcome. We've been talking about, you know, Gideon and this impossibility that he faced. You know, it was bad enough with the 32,000 in his army, because chances are that Midianite army was 10 times that size at least. And all he could, you know, all Gideon could muster was 32,000. And God said, no, that's too many. And he whittled it down all the way down to 300. You know, what kind of faith would that take to be able to just even consider it? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I think if I'd been Gideon, I would have just turned around and, you know, went back home.
Yeah. I think that, you know, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is very, very small, just like that song said, all things are possible with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to. Oh, go ahead.
You know, I'm just thinking about when you go into war, you would want to be really prepared. You'd want to have a lot of guys behind you so that you were well equipped. And for when the Lord told Gideon that he was going to decrease his army size, you know, that probably made him concerned. It scared him. And it had to test his faith a little bit, because I couldn't imagine going from that many down to 300. That would be a shocker, because then you have to realize that you have to rely on the Lord to get you through this victory, not manpower.
Right, right. And God said, it's too many, because I don't want any man, any human, to be able to take, you know, to say that, you know, they were the one that did it, to take the glory for this victory. God said, I'm going to get it for myself. And so, you know, he whittles it down to 300, and that's just a drop in the bucket for these big armies. And yet God is so gracious, because he said, look, if you're afraid, then go down to the camp. You know, go down and hear what they're saying about you. Take your servant, go down to the camp, hear what they're saying about you. And, you know, I love that about God, because he didn't upbraid, he didn't rebuke, he didn't condemn Gideon for being fearful. He wanted to show Gideon, hey, I've already done this for you. The victory's already yours. So go down to the camp and just hear what they're saying. How like God to do that, you know? He didn't condemn or anything. He just said, I've got another sign for you. This is a freebie. You don't even have to ask for this one. And sure enough.
Yeah. The morale booster is exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like him to do that, because he does that now with everybody. It's just sometimes we don't see him, and sometimes we need that direction of, hey, go down to the camp and hear what they're saying.
Right. Right. Because, you know, and he does that. He goes down to the Midianite camp, and, you know, and I'm reading out of the New Living in verse where are we at here? Verse 10, I think. Verse 11. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you'll be greatly encouraged. Then you'll be eager to attack, okay? Not you'll be maybe willing to attack, but no, you're going to be eager to attack. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. Not scared to attack, not scared to stand our ground against the enemy, but eager to attack. And, you know, he went down there into the camp, and what happened? Just by coincidence, perhaps? I doubt that. It was God's timing perfectly. One of the guys was talking to his comrade and said, you know, I had this dream. And in this dream, a big old barley loaf bounced into the camp and turned over the tent. And he knew what that dream meant. He said, that barley loaf is Gideon, and the tent is us. So that was the sign that God had given him. This Midianite had a dream, and he just happened to be telling his comrade, his friend, about the dream when Gideon crept up to the camp. Now, that's pretty incredible, because that was the sign that God had promised for Gideon. And has God ever done anything like that for you, Megan, or Betty, where he's given you that extra sign just to give you that great encouragement?
Go ahead, Mom. Well, I think one of the great things about God is that we have grace, which is God's unmerited favor, and I think that Midian had God's unmerited favor. And it, back maybe when I was a new Christian, even today, God gives each of us the determination to conquer whatever we have that's set before us. And I think a lot of times, fear of the unknown, what are we facing ahead of us? What's the path going to be like? Well, it's just like many, I've chosen your path. It's already laid for you. Do not let fear overtake you. And probably one of the biggest thing with me in change, getting into a new cycle of life or into a new chapter is fear. Because you get comfortable doing what you're doing, and you don't want to step out in faith and do maybe what God has called you to do. Stepping out after 9 years of being retired and going back to work doesn't seem like a lot to some people, but it was to me. Could I do it? Do I have the strength to do it? And that's when God spoke to me and said, you can do all things through Christ, me. I will strengthen you. And in these last 2.5 weeks, Pastor and Megan, God has given me the strength to do what he wanted me to do, and that was to go back to work. I know it sounds strange, but it's given me a new perspective of, even no matter how old we are, and I'm older than dirt, so I can still go out and minister in the world as much as I can here on the radio. So it's given me a new perspective. So I overcame fear in the last 2.5-3 weeks.
Praise God. Praise God. And Megan, I know God's given you some signs and done some miracles in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
So
how is Zoe Grace?
Zoe Grace is perfect. She is just as perfect as she can be. She's such a blessing, you know, every morning to wake up and have this little baby smile at you. It just a reminder of what we've been through and how blessed we are at coming out of what we've been through. And, you know, I think every day here is a battle. And that's where we have to look at Gideon and compare with ourselves, that every day is a battle. But when you have the ultimate commander in chief in power, there's no need to have a mighty army behind yourself. All you need is him. And that's been so true for me, because there was no one that I could have relied on like I did when I was going through what I went through with our son Grayson, more so than the Lord, because he was such a comfort to me through all of the visions that he gave me, the dreams. Just knowing that he was there with us that day in the hospital was just such a mighty force that you could just feel it. It's the most powerful thing to experience. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And that brings me, that's perfect kind of little segue into the next point, is what was Gideon's response? I mean, he hears this dream and its interpretation. He understands that the Midianites are, they all think he's going to, you know, beat them, defeat them. And the next thing that Gideon does is, when he heard the dream and the interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. And that is that's so telling about kind of Gideon's personality. You know, he first met the Lord as the angel of the Lord, when the angel came to him and said, guess what, you're the one that's going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And here's another time when he, you know, he brought out a sacrifice at that point. Well, here he hears this, the dream and the interpretation, and his first impulse, it was not to run to the camp and get everybody set for battle, but his first impulse was to bow in worship before the Lord. And that kind of gratitude and just honoring God like that is so important, because sometimes God will show us things or do things in our lives. And I know I've been there, I've done this. And we may say, oh, thanks, Lord, and then just run off and do whatever. But here was almost, you know, he bowed in worship. This was not just, ooh, thank you, Lord. It kind of gives the idea that he took some time here and just really got before God in thankfulness and gratitude.
Well, you know, Pastor Jim, I think that we all need to have that type of personality when it comes to the Lord. It's a personality and an attitude of gratitude and a mindset of being submissive to his plan and being of a mind of worship, because we should praise him for his wisdom, that he leads us through these struggles, these battles. And just like Gideon, you know, he was going to face this huge battle, but he was humble enough to get down on his hands and knees and worship the Lord and thank him for the guidance that he was giving him and for what he was doing for him. That's the mindset that we should all have.
Amen. And what does worship do for us, Betty? When we get confirmation or whatever, a word from the Lord, and then we worship the Lord, what does that do inside of us?
Well, I think it gives us insight. It gives us wisdom. It gives us what Megan said just a few seconds ago, it gives us an attitude of gratitude that no matter what we're going through, he lifts us up. Mm-hmm. He sets us high on higher ground. It gives us the incentive to go on, and I think that's what he did with Gideon.
Oh, absolutely.
He set him apart, first of all, and told him, now this is the battle plan. It's almost like going into the army or to any of the armed forces, and they tell you, this is the game plan. The commander-in-chief tells you, this is what we want to do. And then it gives you a sense of security to know that God is behind you. And when you worship, it brings you closer to God. It brings you in a, what I call a holy communion with him, mm-hmm. is that you have his undivided attention for however long you need it, through prayer, through worship, through surrender. And it cleanses us. It makes us more determined to do the work that he has us to do, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And determined, and I like what you said earlier about the wisdom part, because what Gideon does next is crazy. You know, he'd already sent everybody home but the 300, but he kept everybody's ram's horns, their shofars, and kept the pots they carried their provisions in. And I don't know whether God gave Gideon a word of knowledge or word of wisdom, but he knew what he was going to do with those. And it was really kind of outlandish what he did with those, because he passed out the shofars to everybody, to the 300. Then he passed out these pots, these, like, you know, clay pots, but he put a candle, a torch, in each one of them. But because the pot was around it, you couldn't really see the torch. And he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to divide you into three groups. And when you hear me blow the horn, and I want you to shout, the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. And then I want you to break the pot and keep blowing on the shofar. Now, what an outlandish sort of plan. Until you really kind of, you know, I was kind of thinking about this, and I thought, well, they would have had to have been spread out all, you know, all around the Midianite camp. And this would have been, Scripture says, like, right after midnight, so probably just after the changing of the guard. Most everybody was already asleep. And all of a sudden, here comes all this commotion, all these ram's horns sounding from everywhere. And all of a sudden, all these torches all around the camp. So it says in Judges chapter 7, the camp was basically thrown into an uproar. All the camels, all, you know, that they had to carry their stuff, and their war camels and all that, were running through the camp, frightened out of their minds. And then not only that, but all the soldiers turned on each other. There was so much confusion, most of them turned on each other. And, you know, very few of them actually escaped out of the camp, because God just, you know, threw them into confusion like he did so many other times with so many of other of Israel's enemies. But what an outlandish plan, and yet it worked. Somehow it worked, and Gideon won the battle that day. Just think of it. I mean, they were probably outnumbered maybe as much as 1,000 to 1. And, you know, and yet Scripture says, one of you will put 1,000 to flight, two of you will put 10,000 to flight. And here it was, played out in real life. How incredible is God's deliverance?
I think that when God, pardon me, sinus. Once in a while, when God gives us a direct plan like he did with Gideon, he could have gave him a pencil and he could have defeated them. I think that once God puts you on the road, he shod your feet, he shod you with everything that you will need for the battle that you're facing. And it's just like when the horns were sounded, it set everything into motion of what God was trying to tell him in don't worry, just let me take care of it. And as soon as those horns went off, you can see what happened. It threw everyone into mass confusion, mm-hmm. for Gideon's army. And what my representation of a pencil was, is that, like, if you're a teacher and you go into a classroom with just a pencil, and God told you to go in and use that pencil for his glory, it will bring him glory. And it's just that we can't fear. We have to have the confidence to stand up and say, okay, God, whatever you equip me with, because that's what the equipping of the saint can mean in a literal sense, is that when he equips you for battle or he equips you for the storm that you're going through, you're not going to be defeated, whether it be a pencil, whether it be torches, whether it be a ram's horn, a shofar, whatever he gives you, and he tells you to go do it, you're going to come out victorious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the it just hit me that about the shofars. Remember, I mean, those, there was a history of using those to win battles. Of course, Joshua led the Israelites around Jericho, and what did they do? They blew the shofar, and it was, you know, it was used to call people to battle, to get people's attention, to call them to repentance. And so here again, God uses it, like you said, just, and I think, I sometimes wonder if it just didn't throw the spirits that were controlling Midian into confusion also. You know, I often think that that's what happened in Jericho, is that those spirits that were controlling Jericho fled at the sound of the trumpets. And it reminds me of what one thing that, Joshua and Caleb said after they'd spied out the land. They said, look, their shadow, literally their shadow of protection is gone. You know, they had no place to hide, and that the trumpet blast routed out the enemy and threw them into such a panic that they turned on each other. And we have to remember, you know, the devil's kingdom is divided against itself, whereas God's kingdom is not. The devil's kingdom is.
Right.
You know, when Jesus said, if his kingdom is divided, it'll fall. Well, it is divided, and it is going to fall, and actually it has already fallen. But here, Gideon is such an example for us, because he fought from a place of victory already. He had the promise already of victory. So he wasn't fighting from a place of trying to get victory. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? He was fighting from a place of victory. He already had it. He just had to work it out.
Well, you know, Pastor Jim, I think that another thing that took the camp by surprise, it's actually what it is. He took them by surprise. Because they think, the devil thinks he has all these well-laid-out plans that, that he's setting you up for ruin. When the Lord God himself comes in, takes over, takes the show, and runs with it, because he is a God of well-planned and well-thought-out instructions for his people. So when he come in with the element of surprise, like you do in any attack, the element of surprise takes over the attacker, and you usually have victory in any way, shape, or form. And that's what I love about the Lord, is that when you are in communication with him through prayer, through the reading of the word, through music, whatever it is that God gives you that opportunity to show you that you have victory over the enemy,
mm-hmm.
in every area of your life. And it's the element of surprise. It's like, well, I've got her down here. She's not, the devil saying, you're not going to get up. It's like, well, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I want the devil saying, oh, no, she's up. Because that's the element of surprise. It's like he thinks that he has you, but no, that the Lord has him
right.
under his feet,
right.
and that you are, yes, we're going to go through storms from time to time. It's just like what Gideon thought, how am I ever going to do this? I'm sure that we think that every day. How am I going to get through this? You know, I'd be so glad when Friday gets here. But God has a plan for us. We just have to be patient and let him show us what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And something that just actually came into my mind was two things about Gideon and what he had, the shofar, and that represents praise, and the torches represent the light of the word. So spiritually, that's what threw that camp into commotion, was praise and the word. And, you know, the camp was just completely thrown into commotion, couldn't stand, because basically God came on the scene And we know that when God comes on the scene, the enemy has to flee. Amen? Megan?
Absolutely, amen. You know, it's in those situations that if we're going through a battle, if we're going through a hard time, that's when we need to praise and worship and get out the Bible more than we do on a daily basis. Because that's when we get those items, those articles out, that's when the enemy runs and flees in fear, because it's like, oh, she knows what she's doing. She's calling on the ultimate commander to take over this. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I said we have to remember Gideon and we fight from a position of victory. Our victory is already assured. You know, Gideon had been given time and time again a word from the Lord that, you know, I'm going to use you. You're going to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon said, okay, if this is going to happen, I'm going to put a fleece out. And we know that God honored that twice. God honored his request twice. Gideon got all sorts of confirmations. And here, finally, when it's whittled down to the 38, or to the 30, or 300 soldiers, then God says, now, this is where I'm going to get glory. Go with these 300 and win. Take over and win this battle. And Gideon, like so many other times, you know, we look at in the, like Moses, so many times Moses and David especially would inquire of the Lord before they went into battle, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And God would give them very specific answers so that they knew that the battle was already won. The battle was not even in their hands anymore because God had taken over. And that's an amazing thing that God does even in our daily lives. And the point I wanted to make is that because of what Jesus has done, we, all of us, can fight from a position of victory. We don't have to fight trying to grasp victory because that victory has already been won. Jesus, when he revealed himself to John in the book of Revelation, said, I was dead, I'm alive, and I have the keys of death and hell. I have those keys now. Nothing can defeat Jesus. And because we are in him, nothing can defeat us. Which brings me to the next song, which is an old song by Keith Green called The Victor. And it actually was not his song, but it was... another person had written it, but it's so good and it fits in so well at this point. So, The Victor by Keith Green. Praise God. I love that song. I have a little CD of songs I have for Resurrection Sunday. And of course that one's on there. But it's so true. And the reason I wanted to include this song is in showing that just like, you know, Gideon, we all have our battles, but we need to remember that we are part of a victorious army because of what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. And it's so important, you know, not to forget about Resurrection Sunday or Easter, you know, not just to celebrate it that one day, because what happened when Jesus rose from the dead still affects us now. That victory that he got over Satan still affects us today. And will until he comes back. But we have to learn to walk in that. You know, I'm a great one, and you know, for knowledge, and I know Pastor tends to brag on how much I know. Sometimes I wish I didn't, because I struggled for a long time with having a lot in my head and not so much in my spirit. Because it's easy to, you know, to have head knowledge, to know about God. But to intimately know who he is, to intimately know God, that's the whole thing. To be connected in a living way with Jesus, that's what it's all about. Because as we abide in him, as we understand what it means to be in union with him, then we find out all these things we have because of our relationship with Jesus. Betty, have you found that to be true in your life? Betty.
Yes, very much.
There you are.
So.
There you are.
Sorry,
I got scared.
One of the things that when I first knew that I was getting back in touch with Pastor Marcia and so forth, and I actually heard, I think it was you, Pastor Marcia, and yourself on the radio, and I've always wanted to be on the radio, but I was intimidated by your knowledge of the Old Testament. And God kind of set me down, and he said, don't be intimidated by him. And I think this is where he said, do not be intimidated by him. Learn from him. And so that has always given me a great respect for you and your knowledge. And it drives me to want to learn more about the Old Testament. And when you guys were talking about the clay, the pots and the torches inside of those, reminds me of how we are that clay still today,
mm-hmm.
and how he's molding us and how that light comes through. And the light of Jesus comes through you and Pastor Marcia in such a brilliant way that I think our viewers can learn so much from you too. And through our conversation, is that his power overcame the devil. The devil started counting forward like 1, 2, 3. Well, you know, he's gone. But when in all actuality, he started counting 10, 9,
mm-hmm.
8, 7, because Jesus won that victory. And it seems like every day or every time I'm on the radio, we talk about going back to the cross, like you talked about with Resurrection Sunday, is that God doesn't want us to forget what he did and how victorious that we are through that victory. And he's such a kind and gentle soul as yourself, is that we have an opportunity to be what God wants us to be, just like he wanted Midian, where we feel like that we're not good enough to do what God wants us to do. And I felt that way in many instances, but you know, listening to the radio, listening and reading and praying and putting on the garment of praise, it has brought me to a new level of in Christ that I never thought I could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're trying to convey today through Midian, is that there is no battle that the Lord can't win for us.
Amen.
As long as we have faith and trust in him.
Amen. Amen. Megan, a comment about that?
Absolutely. You know, I feel like that maybe the reason why the Lord is bringing us back to the cross is because it's such a symbolic representation of the sacrifice that he gave, giving his son for us. But it's also something that's very simple to understand in a time right now where so many people are where they feel like they're in such a bad place, you know, that the world is crashing in around them. But he brings us back to the cross in such a simple manner, because it's like we can just learn that the Lord gives us this victory over everything that the devil throws at us, and that we have life. We have eternal life through him because of what he did through his son. And it's something that's easy to understand, but we also need to realize that when we are in those times of trouble and when we're in those trials, that we learn to focus on that we can hold our heads high, knowing that no matter how long it takes to get through this, that the Lord is going to be victorious and that we're going to give him all the praise and glory because he brought us out. He brought us out of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And that goes along with Colossians chapter 2, which is kind of the next place I want to pop into. Colossians used to intimidate me because I just looked at this book and read it. I remember the first time I read it, I thought, I am never going to understand this one, Paul. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, And I love this. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. You know, we've talked many, many times about Jesus was fully God and fully human. There wasn't one bit of God missing from Jesus, nor was there one part of our humanity missing from Jesus. And I love verse 10 here. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I think the New American Standard says, in him you are complete. So in Jesus, there's not a part missing from us. And I know Pastor likes to use the word less, you know, we feel less than, we feel, in a sense, incomplete. Like there's something missing, like somewhere we're lacking something. You know, maybe we lack the knowledge, or we lack wisdom, or we lack power. Maybe we feel those things. We lack God's righteousness, or we lack love, or, you know, something, whatever it happens to be. But here Paul says, in Jesus, in your union with the Messiah, you are made complete. We are full in Jesus. There's nothing lacking in us. Did comment, Betty or Megan?
Go ahead, Meg. You know, we aren't lacking anything because, you know, I am not an eloquent speaker. I am not someone that charges into situations. That's just not my personality. I'm the type of person that would rather sit back, let it unfold, and kind of hide around the corner. But when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, when I allow that to take over, when I'm babbling in the Spirit, I'm a totally different person. And it's hard to describe, but he makes you stronger. He gives you words that you never thought could come out of your mouth. He gets you through situations that you thought were going to make you crumble.
Mm-hmm.
He empowers you because he is the ultimate commander. And it amazes me throughout the whole entire Bible of how the Lord demonstrates all these different ways, like he did with Gideon, of getting people's attention. Just like we talked about how that was so odd how he did that. But that's how he works. That's how he does it, because he's going to knock you off your feet to get your attention, and it totally can disrupt you, and it really disrupts those people that are, and it really, I guess they're not people, but disrupts those evil spirits and really knocks them for a loop.
Right, right. And that's where I kind of want to go with these a few more scriptures in Colossians. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and, okay, my personal example is I never thought, for the longest time, even though I was, you know, even though I was born again in October of 19, sometime long time ago, and actually it was October 30th, 1973, and for a long time, because I think a lot of it has to do with the way we're brought up. Maybe the kind of families we came out of. Even though I knew God loved me, I still had kind of a works-based salvation thing going on. You know, if I sinned, I figured I had to do something to make up for it, because I hadn't really got it down in my spirit yet that there wasn't squat that I could do. You know, I couldn't atone for my sins. A, because I couldn't, and B, because it had already been done through Jesus. And it took a while to get to the point where I just finally accepted the Father's love. I mean, that was kind of an incompleteness in me. I had an incomplete understanding of God's love and his mercy and toward me. And yet, once I got a hold of that, it's like things really began to change. And this was even after, I mean, I didn't come to this, you know, revelation or understanding even until after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, it came after that. I was still like trying to work, you know, do these wonderful works for God so he'd like me. And I just hadn't quite got it down in my spirit that whether I did the works or not, God still loved me. And, you know, that's kind of the amazing thing. It's like, I think what really hit home with me was what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. You know, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up to die for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. You know, and with no guarantee we'd turn to him, he still died for us. Even, and that's how, I mean, that's how great his love is. And Megan, a comment on that?
Well, I think that, go ahead, Meg.
No, you're fine. Go on.
Well, I think that in, you know, summing up the hour is that through our weakness, he is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he uses our weaknesses to make us stronger. He uses our weaknesses to strengthen us, to get us over that hurdle that we're facing, that his faithfulness, that his love for us, like you were mentioning, is can get us through so much that we cannot do ourselves because of our weakness.
Right.
And but the more that we rely on him and the more that we depend on him is that makes us stronger. And being an intercessor myself, I never thought that I would ever get to the point to be able to, at the beginning, to say, well, you know, I need you to start interceding for people. Well, what does that mean, Lord? That was my weakness, is being thinking that I can't do it. There's no way in God's green earth I can do this, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
And that's probably been the one scripture that I can have been able to retain and memorize, is that without him, I am nothing, but I am with him, I am all things.
And that,
I can do all things.
Yeah. And
it's so true.
Yeah. And that's the key, through him. I mean, I want to read after we do station identification, some more scriptures here in Colossians. And it's all about in him, in Christ, the things that we can't do on our own, we can do or have been done already in Christ. But first, I want to pause for station identification.